All right, we've been speaking about medicine shortages most of this year, it seems now. But diabetes patients may have to limit the use of insulin. They may take that decision themselves. This due to a shortage of vials of insulin. Let me just read what was said in one of the articles here. Some, as I say, are adjusting their diet by eating fewer carbs to make their insulin last longer. And this is according to some patients. Dee joins us on the programme now. Dee, thanks for your time today. I appreciate it.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Not too bad at all, Dee. So your son has type 1 diabetes. Is this shortage already affecting him and the family?
Well, it first became apparent that we all know that there's a shortage of the Fiasp insulin, and that's used in many pumps within Ireland, and we were made aware of that. But it became apparent then recently that this has had a ripple effect on other insulins, because patients from Fiasp are being transferred to NovoRapid, mm-hmm. which is the predominantly used insulin for Ireland. So there's a lot of people in the community of type 1 parents that have said, has anybody having trouble getting their supply of insulin? And many people have come and saying, yes, they have. So I myself then went to pick up my son's prescription. He's due to have 3 vials per month. They could only give us one. They couldn't tell us when we could get the others. Now, being type 1 diabetic, they need insulin 24 hours a day. It's not something they just take with food. They take it with food, but it's not just something they take with food. They need it 24 hours a day. And one vial a month is just not going to be enough. And my son's on very little amounts of insulin, so there'll be patients out there on a lot more.
So what can you do?
It is worrying.
I don't know if you have a medical background or not, but I mean, how are you advised to use, or are you advised how to use that amount of insulin compared to what normally would be required? Like, are you given any support or advice on that, or do you have to make those calls yourself?
Well, we have to make those calls ourselves. I mean, our pharmacists are at the end of their tether. They're pulling their hairs out. I have to be quite honest with you. My own pharmacist is absolutely brilliant. She has gone through, you know, the end of the earth just to see what she can do, because she has a few patients that require insulin, and we're all in the same boat. Mm. And obviously, the last thing we want to do is stockpile insulin, because it's going to cause somebody, some child, to have no insulin. Now, hopefully now have it sorted, because what I found this week was that although they were aware there was a fire issue, they weren't aware that the NovoRapid is being hit by this as well. So now that has been highlighted, hopefully now they'll sort something out and stock will start coming back in again.
Yeah, but I mean, hope is something to hold on to, but it's certainty that you need, because obviously, and you can tell us if someone doesn't get the insulin they require, it can have really devastating, including fatal consequences.
Definitely. I mean, as I said, they need insulin 24/7. They have no pancreas. The pancreas has failed. So they need insulin 24/7. If their insulin is short, then they have a risk of going into ketoacidosis, which is life-threatening. So it is scary. There is there's Fiasp, there's NovoRapid, and there's Humalog, which can be, you can use one or the other, but that takes precision and it takes a lot of specialised care, because changing from one insulin to another, you can't just do it. It's something that you have to get used to, because all insulins act differently. They have different speeds. They have different reactions to different foods. So it will have to be done over a period of time. It's not something that can be done straight away and be fine. It's something that needs to be watched and supervised. So, but the only thing is with that is if we start running low of NovoRapid and then patients being moved to the third option, it's just going to have a vicious cycle. Mm. And we're going to get to the point where we are going to be stuck.
Have you been given any explanation as to the actual cause of this and what the long-term situation might be? All right, you might get assurances from the company that supplies will come online by the end of month, but how do we know that those might not be exhausted quite quickly and we'll be down the same road in 4 months or 8 months? Or, you know, no one wants to live with this uncertainty over their heads.
We don't know. Honestly, we don't know. I mean, to be honest with you, there's some places in the country that have no issue at all. Some parents have absolutely no issue at all getting what they need, but there's some that are getting half of what they need and some getting very minimal amounts of what they need. So I don't know what's happening, whether pharmacists know the situation and are stockpiling in certain areas, and which is creating an issue for other pharmacists. I really don't know, because there are parents that are getting their supply, but there's parents that are not. So I don't know what's going on in that circle of it. But Fiast have said, which Novo Nordisk, who make Fiast, that this issue should be sorted by the end of the month. It's got absolutely nothing to do with the quality or anything wrong with the incident. It's a manufacturing issue, staffing issues, that they can't get stock required up fast enough. Which is okay. They have warned us about that. We did have warnings about that, but they haven't really foreseen the consequences that it's had on the other insulin, because patients have been going from Fiast to Nova Rapid, and now Nova Rapid supply is short.
And I hope it gets sorted soon, Dee. And I hope particularly that it's not just sorted for now, that there's long-term security there, because it's enough to be dealing with
absolutely
without that also.
No, it is worrying. Yeah. It's a worrying prospect that we're going to be finding ourselves with this issue. Mm. It is, because we have no other, we can't move to any other medication.
Yeah.
We have this, and we need this to keep our children alive, or type 1 themselves alive. Even some type 2s use insulin. It's a situation that needs to be sorted, and soon.
All right, Dee. Listen, thanks for that. Best wishes to everyone. That's Dee there, whose son has type 1 diabetes. If that affects you, 086 60 25000. Now, I said it at the end of the show yesterday, and I just want to reiterate it as it relates to all of you who contacted the programme while we were chatting to Father Sean Doherty. Still taking a wee bit of time to get used to that. Now, dozens and dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of you, messaged in. And as the conversation was going, because time was short, I couldn't get to them. But it's better than that. I did say it yesterday, but just in case you missed it, that we passed on all of those messages. We were able to hand them. We printed them off and we were able to hand them to Father Sean. So if you messaged the show yesterday, Father Sean himself has them in his possession and is able to read through them. So just in case you think that they were sent in and then they end up on a machine, all of the messages were printed out and given to Father Sean for him, which I think is... I just wanted to reiterate that in case you didn't hear it yesterday, because we do appreciate all of your efforts in taking the phone out.
The county's number one talk show, The 9 Till Noon Show on Highland Radio.
The 9 Till Noon Show with Letterkenny Credit Union. Simplify your debts with a debt consolidation loan from Letterkenny Credit Union. Call us on 074-910-2126 or apply online via our app or in office today.
Rejuvenate your skincare routine this summer with the Clarins Big Beauty Gift at McElhenney's. Purchase two or more Clarins products, one to be moisturiser or serum, and receive a choice of three free travel size products. Purchase a third Clarins product and receive two makeup essentials. Offer available in store at McElhenney's and online at McElhenney's.com until July 16th while stocks last.
Donegal County Council invite the public to participate in the second public consultation for Letterkenny Southern Network Project at the Radisson Blue Letterkenny on Wednesday, 12th of July from 12 noon till 8 p.m. The project aims to develop the transport network south of Letterkenny Town. See project website lsnp.ie for more details.
At Manor Motors Opel, we're half full type of people, which is how we come up with the Opel 50-50 finance offer. Choose from the Opel Crossland, Corsa or Mokka. Select your flexible payment option. Pair it with 3 years free servicing and meet your new other half. Discover more about Opel's 50-50 offer at the Opel Open Road event. See manormotors.ie for details. Finance is provided by way of a consumer hire purchase agreement by Bank of Ireland Finance. Lending criteria and conditions apply over 18s only. Ownership remains with Bank of Ireland until the final payment is made. Bank of Ireland trading as of Bank of Ireland Finance is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
The Saturday Shuffle with Paul McDevitt will be live this Saturday from Home Store and More in Letterkenny Retail Park, where you will find great savings and a choice with their selection of homeware. Whether it's cooking up a storm in the kitchen or transforming your living space, they will have quality items that you want at great value. That's this Saturday from 12 noon, live from Home Store and More in Letterkenny.
Highland Radio time checks with Expressway. Travel Route 32 from Letterkenny to Dublin when you book online and travel for less. Expressway, bringing you the time at
The time's 12 minutes past 11 and it's time for Wellness Wednesday. And we are going to talk now and hopefully to create more awareness of cardiac risk in the young. We're joined on the programme by Elaine Whelan, Family Support Programme Coordinator with CRI. Elaine, good morning to you. Thanks for your time today.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having us this morning. No, thank you.
It's really good to have you on the programme. And Eleanor Abbott, a volunteer for the charity CRI, again, which stands for Cardiac Risk in the Young. Eleanor, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for having me.
No problem. And we're speaking to you off the back of a contact we had from you to talk about the cardiac risk in the young. And very sadly, you became aware of CRI through the loss of your son, aged just 36 years of age. I'm really sorry for your loss, and I'm sure it never gets any easier, but you're doing great work, of course, with CRI in raising awareness, and I'm sure in your son's memory, and you'd be very proud of you. Can you talk to us, Eleanor, as much as you're comfortable with about that situation?
Yes, well, my son, Gareth, was 36 years old, as you say. He was 6 foot tall. He was strong, healthy, and full of life. I had been away, this was going back 4 years ago. In fact, his anniversary is tomorrow. And I was away doing a charity walk for hospice. My son, or my husband, had died 4 years prior to this. And I was away doing a charity walk, came home to find that Gareth had died while watching TV. As you can imagine, the shock of it, I immediately did CPR, but really I knew that I was working on a dead body. So I had to, you just feel you have to do something. After that, 2 days before that, my daughter had given birth to her second baby. So here we were, going in one hand from the joyous having a new baby into the family, and then my son's death 2 days later. It was just, you couldn't write it really.
And there was nothing, Eleanor, there was nothing, to, there was nothing to indicate that this was to happen. Had he had any health issues in his young life? As you mentioned, he was a big, strong lad and he wasn't exerting himself. He was sitting watching TV. I can't imagine what that must have been like for you. I really can't. That's not just words. But was there any indication that he might have been at risk of a sudden adult death?
Well, a few days before that, he was a motorbike enthusiast.
Yes.
He had been away with his friends to the Dutch TT. He came home a few days before this, telling me all of the joys that he had away with his friends. A few days after, he said to me he had pains in his stomach. Mm. Well, I naturally thought he's picked up a bug while away in Holland. And I had said to him, please don't go near your sister with the new baby. Just drink plenty of water to flush your system. So that's what he did. He flushed, kept drinking water. But who would ever connect pains in your stomach with heart? You just wouldn't.
Especially in a healthy 36-year-old as well. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he was very fit. He had his own motorbike. He knew he had to have a healthy diet. He exercised. He was just full of the joys of spring, really.
Yeah.
So after that, I had never spoken to anyone or knew anyone that had died suddenly like this. People sympathise with you, but they really do not understand what it is like to lose your own child. I had given birth to him. I had nurtured him all of his life, and suddenly he was gone.
Yeah, we're not equipped to even begin to process such a thing because it's not natural. However we've developed as humans over time, how we have never been preconditioned to really be able to cope with such a difficult situation. And as you say, people try and say the right thing and have the best will in the world. But was it really when you engaged with Cry that they were able to help you through as much as they could through this incredibly difficult part of your life that continues to this day, of course?
Well, the big thing about Cry is the big word empathy. No one knows until they experience it themselves what it feels like. I was very fortunate when I rang Elaine on Cry. I was very fortunate that it was Elaine that answered the phone. And she was able to put me in touch with other mothers, actually, who had lost their sons. Mm. So I really knew that those ladies knew how my heart was breaking in two.
Yeah.
I was totally shattered by it. I didn't know how really to cope with losing my only son. Mm. So talking to these ladies, they gave me terrific support. I think the first call, I probably cried the whole way through it. Mm. But they knew exactly what I was going through and what a broken heart was like. So empathy was so, so important to me that I knew they understood exactly what I was going through. So through that and through Elaine, then you just gradually learn to cope with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was only through Cry that helped me process my grief.
Yeah. And so engaging with the other mums, it's not like, I presume for a long time, it's not to try and make you feel better. It is to understand what you're going through, to talk it through, to let you grieve in a space that people understand it and let you at it. And then when the time is right and it's going to be at a different time for everyone else, you start to try and move forward with this grief and loss because you have to carry it with you forever. So that presumably that engagement with these people and the organisation affords you the space and the time and the opportunity to do that as best as one can.
That's right. That's right. And no matter how long it has been since Gareth died, I know that I can sit and I can cry in front of all these people because they know exactly. And we all do that. After a year, people think that, you get over things, but you really don't. You really do not get over losing your child. The way I look at it is, grief can hit you all of a sudden. Something can trigger it off. I can think of it as an avalanche. It just hits you. You can't stop it. It covers you. You either go to bed or whatever, as long as you just learn to cope with that. Mm. And then you just think, well, the snow will melt. Tomorrow's a new day. So you start the new day. You can go out through your door, your front door. There's a ginormous hole outside your door.
Yeah.
You can either fall into it or you can negotiate round it. Mm-hmm. I prefer to negotiate round it. And it's only through the help of Cry and the volunteer work that they do that has helped me do that.
You're a remarkable lady. You truly are, Eleanor. Because as well as you're dealing with the circumstances of someone's death can affect everything as well. And that shock, of discovering your beautiful son as well, as I say, that's a different experience for you. Everyone has different experiences. You've mentioned Elaine Whelan there, who's a family support program coordinator with cardiac risk in the Young Ireland. Elaine, it's hard to add on top of what Eleanor has so eloquently and so fulsomely put across someone's experience, but also how engaging with Cry can help.
Yeah, and thank you, Greg, again for having myself and Eleanor on this morning. You know, even sitting here listening to Eleanor, and I've heard her story about Gareth and her loss so many times, but I remember that first day and that first call Eleanor phoned. And I just want to say, firstly, before I kind of get into the work we do, I'm so proud of Eleanor. Honest to God, in the journey she has come in the last 2 years and getting to know her, we have 28 wonderful volunteers around the 32 counties of Ireland, predominantly mums who have lost sons and daughters, but also partners, husbands, wives, siblings and close friends of somebody that who has lost their life in this way. But Eleanor speaks for many of those volunteers and many of the families here this morning. I want to say, Eleanor, thank you so much for being that voice of cry and coming on this morning yet again. And I know there's, you know, even if one person and one mum and one family hears Eleanor this morning, I think that's we're doing a good job. So I just wanted to say that first of all, if you don't mind.
I think it's too, if one person gets hope from it, because
that's it.
I can just imagine there are people listening who are still locked in the early, you know, in that initial grief. And might have been for many, many years, but haven't maybe had the opportunity to go through a process to navigate life like Eleanor so beautifully put.
That's it. And, you know, many people, as Eleanor said, grief is not tidy. Grief is, you know, it's like an avalanche. It can hit you, you know, in different forms, in different days, you know, depending on the day, how you're feeling on that day. And I suppose, Just to give you some background, back in 2002, when our wonderful charity Cry was set up, it was set up by Michael and Mary Green after the death of their 15-year-old son, Peter, back in 1996 in Dublin. And at that time, Michael and Mary, obviously, like Eleanor, their world was torn upside down and inside out after the sudden cardiac death of Peter. And at that time in Ireland, you know, that there was this, I suppose, anxiety around them. They had other children, you know, are my other children okay? Could they possibly have this cardiac illness? Where do we go? What do we do? And there was very little in Ireland. There was very little awareness of young people dying, men and women, young men and young women dying. So at that time, they went about their business and they went to see a cardiologist privately. And again, that cardiologist at the time, you know, heard what they were saying, that there isn't support for families. So Dr. David Mulcahy at the time in Dublin ended up seeing people like Michael and Mary Green and then seeing their other children. Mm-hmm. You know, so for one appointment, he might be seeing five members of a family in front of him because of this anxiety around, well, Peter has died suddenly with sudden cardiac death. Are our other children, are we at risk? So I suppose that's really the history of it. That's where Cry was founded. And now, over years of Michael and Mary and a wonderful team, our CEO, Lucia Ebbs, and a wonderful team of volunteers, that has been built on. And now we have a state-of-the-art Cry screening centre, a CRYP centre in Talla, opposite the gates of Talla Hospital. And that, I suppose, is headed by Dr. Deirdre Ward and her clinical team in partnership with Talla University Hospital and the HSE. So what Cry, the charity, what Eleanor and I do, and Lucia, we offer access to families who have been affected by sudden cardiac death, which is a genetic or hereditary condition. And we offer free access, all of our services are free, into Dr. Deirdre Ward and her clinical team. And these are for families and loved ones who are deemed that they may be at risk of a genetic heart condition. So it's not your typical, Greg, as we would have known it in the olden days of, you know, the massive heart attack, somebody's grandfather age 90 plus, however horrific that is, and that absolutely is a loss of a life as well. But this is particularly looking at the genetic sudden, the cardiac death or the sudden adult death syndrome, as sometimes we hear it in the media. So we're really very grateful.
How are you supported though? Because that is a facility that would require great resources to run and maintain and to especially offer it for free. So how do you manage to support that? When I say you, I mean the Cry Ireland organisation.
Yeah, so we're very lucky that we are now partnered with the HSE and Talla University Hospital. So that obviously covers the cost of the clinical screening. Okay. So the echoes, the ECGs, that full programme to get people fully assessed from a cardiac point of view. Then from a charity point of view, from offering the family support programme and a national helpline to families all over Ireland, and the emotional support, so the grief counselling, the psychotherapy, family events, you know, that mentoring program that we hold, like Eleanor described. So somebody rings, it might be a mom who's lost a son, I put them in touch with another mom. Then we have, you know, we've online support meetings, we've face-to-face support meetings. So all of that is done on the really goodwill of the families and the Irish public in terms of fundraising, mini marathon and fundraising events all around the country that happen all the time. It's the goodwill and it's communities really in Ireland, Greg, that have been affected or know a family that has been affected. And I might just say, like, we depend solely, the charity depends solely on the goodwill of the people.
Just in case people see their support. An event or something. And Eleanor, I'm listening to Elaine intently, but I'm thinking on you at the same time, in that this terrible loss that you experienced just 4 years after losing your husband, and at the same time, presumably as a mum, feeling that you might have to be there to for your daughter's beautiful good news, you know, and to allow her the space to say that, you know, I'm happy for you as well, and for that not to be, even through her own grief, for that not to be forever tarnished by this awful experience. And then your mind then does move to, well, is this genetic? Who else might be affected? And could this happen again? It's just an awful burden, Eleanor, that you and others in a similar position have had to bear.
Well, when my daughter really, I felt so sorry for her because she had just given birth to her baby. Then her one and only brother, who she was very close to, had died. So there was an awful lot going on in her life as well. And when Gareth died, his death certificate stated that it was sudden adult death syndrome. Now, there's no real history of that in the family. At the time, we were very lucky that my daughter was able to go down to Tala and get screened. Again, all free of charge, which is absolutely wonderful that they can do this for us. And she went and got screened and came home with a heart monitor and whatnot on her. And thank goodness, she is fine. But it still leaves the question that I often think, why did my son's heart suddenly stop for no apparent reason? So it just makes you think. It also makes you think, I just felt with losing my husband, then losing my only son, why did I have two hits as such?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think, well, why not me? You know, it happens to people every day. So you just have to get on with life.
Yeah, and Eleanor, do you, through Cry Now, you're a volunteer with Cry, so it could be someone who's recently bereaved, or maybe when they feel they're able to talk or want to talk. Do you speak to other people now who've also lost children to support them? And if so, how does that impact you as you still navigate life?
Yes, grieving?
Sorry, can you hear me, Eleanor?
Well, it's actually, yes, just you're coming in and out, but I can hear you now. In actual fact, Greg, it's very good therapy for me because I know of one particular lady that I can think of, and she needed to know immediately about Gareth. It was so important to her, which I totally understood. It was so important to her that she knew how brokenhearted she was. I had experienced the same thing. So once she heard my story, then she knew she could open up to me and tell me her story. And really, it was quite amazing that her story and my story were so similar in that we had the same feelings. Our life was totally shattered. All different similarities of feelings. So it was so important that you can talk about that and the deepness of that. Not everyone, well, not everyone will understand that. And the only person that will understand that is someone okay. that has lost a child like you.
Eleanor, we'll all be thinking on you tomorrow for the anniversary of Gareth's passing. Just so you know that we'll all be thinking on you. And to use your analogy, I hope that the snow's not too deep for you tomorrow.
Thank you
sense.
Very much indeed, Greg. Thank
All right.
you.
Thank you for getting in contact with us. And as I say, best wishes, not just for dealing with tomorrow, but going forward. There's a date every month, I'm sure, that brings this all tumbling home whenever. Not that you need a date, but thank you very much indeed. Elaine, if anyone wishes to support CRY, get more information, engage with the services, because as I say, people come to these types of services at different times. It could be immediately, it could be a
absolutely.
Little way down the road.
It absolutely is, Greg. And I suppose just at the end of that, and thank you to Eleanor as well, we're all so very proud of her to be part of Team CRY. But just to say, we also support families and people who are going through that screening process. So some people come to us, Greg, that fortunately haven't lost a loved one through sudden cardiac death, but may have had themselves or a family member or a loved one who has had a collapse or, an instance like that, that now they are deemed they should have genetic cardiac screening. And that can be a really difficult road for people, the anxiety around it. And then for some, the actual diagnosis of, hearing the words, well, actually, you do have this genetic heart condition, which is wonderful that they're picked up from an awareness point of view. However, for a lot of people, that can be a loss of a lifestyle and a life that they once had. And while that's not a loss, as in a death or a bereavement or a grief, it's a loss of something for a young person, maybe that they can't play football anymore, they can't play rugby at the same level mm. anymore, whatever. And that's, again, so I think it's just really important to get that message across this morning that we're also here to support those people.
Right, okay. People can get more information, presumably, through your socials and a website. So just point us to the website, if you don't mind.
So the
please.
Website is www.cry.ie. And our free phone helpline number from Northern Ireland and the UK is free phone 0044 8006 406280, or mobile number, my mobile number, to send a text or a voice note and somebody will get back to them without delay, is 087 217 4205. And I'll just call out the website again. It's www.crycardiacriskintheyoung.ie, and we're based in Dublin. But we support families throughout the whole of Ireland, the 32 counties.
Across the island. Okay, thanks very much for all your time. Take care of
yourself.
Thanks
very much, Greg.
Okay, that's Elaine Whelan and also Eleanor Abbott, who lost her own son, Gareth, whose anniversary is tomorrow. It's so difficult, isn't it, what people have to go through, and just the strength and the words of Elaine and how she phrases things and how that works for her, of course, is just amazing. All right, okay, we're going to be back with more shortly. Okay, I'm trying to be smart here, Kieran, and press the right buttons at the wrong time, and I've made a mistake. All right, let's try this again.
Business Matters, in association with the ATU Donegal Faculty of Business. If you have an undergrad in any discipline and would like to reinforce it with a Master's in Business, ATU are offering their Master's in Business Management Conversion Programme. Call 9186206 or email donald.hannigan@atu.ie.
Okie dokie. What that means is it's time for us to get the business news from Kieran O'Donnell, of course, at the same time then preview Highland Radio's Business Matters podcast, which is up and ready for your enjoyment already. Kieran, how are you getting on?
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How's your week been so far?
Very good.
Did you do anything nice, interesting?
Not really. Running all the stuff. Keep ahead of myself. Be sure to be ready on a Wednesday morning.
Boom.
As the priority on our Tuesday night.
Boom. Okay. We'll talk about the pod in a sec. Let's get some news, though. Environmental Sustainability in the Workplace Programme. What's this about?
Yeah, a new initiative by Donegal ETB and is set to run an environmental sustainability in the workplace programme, with the qualification being offered as part of their evening class provision. It's a 14-week course aimed at those looking to acquire a general knowledge and understanding of environmental sustainability, and obviously going on to use that knowledge then, Greg, to support sustainable practices in the workplace. So we're starting on Wednesday, September the 6th. The course will run from 6 to 9 each evening, and more information is available on Donegal ETB's social media platforms.
All right, the robots are taking over. I see Google's new computer is able to compute, I can't remember the exact statistics, but it's able to compute... it's able to compute so fast it would take the current best computer 30 years to do the work it can do now instantly. And artificial intelligence is going to become part of all of our lives in the not too distant future. It's already there. Let's call it as it is. But there's a survey carried out to sort of get a sense of the public's awareness of it. I've been talking about it for over a year now. No one's biting. Well, maybe they are. What's the story?
Yeah, it's one in four people, Greg, as from the back of a survey in Donegal, believe artificial intelligence will impact or replace their jobs in the future. And this was a survey that was conducted by recruitment agency FRS Recruitment. The survey also found that two out of three people in Donegal would move jobs for a salary increase of 25% or less, while almost half feel their salary does not fairly reflect their current position.
That's an interesting one before you move on, because that also might talk to how happy and content they are in their jobs, Kieran.
Yeah, I suppose the next line actually fits in very well, Greg, to that, because just under half the people across the county believe that they are more likely to progress in their career by changing jobs rather than staying with their current employer. And two out of three believe they could secure a new job in 3 months or less. So they're quite confident in their own ability there. More interesting is the fact that half of the people that were surveyed also expect to receive a pay raise in the next 12 months. So they're quite optimistic as well.
Yeah, they are. By moving job, it's a funny one, all right.
Yeah.
As I say, and I was speaking to people in various industries with telecommunications support and stuff not so long ago, and they are still not really quite sure how AI is going to fit all into that space, because I'm not sure everyone realises what it can already do. I mean, you have trial programs now which are available in beta, whereas you can say, you know, hey Google, or okay Google, I hope I'm not triggering everyone's speakers out there, but you can say, book me an appointment at my hairdresser's for Wednesday the 5th of August. It is rings up in a human voice and rings the hairdresser, does it itself, has a human-like it's really remarkable. As I say, it's...
That's frightening, Greg.
It's frightening and exciting.
I'm nearly too afraid they sort of get too much into it, because the consequences of what's happening, I suppose ultimately it comes down to differentiating between fact and fiction.
Yeah.
And that's the dilemma we're going to have. The worrying thing in terms of anything that can happen in the world at any time.
Like one of the most basic evolutions of AI recently, they asked it to solve a problem, okay? And it went off and learned Bangladeshian in its entirety to solve the problem. It didn't have to, but the artificial intelligence chose to. Instantly learned a completely different language to problem solve, you know, beyond its instruction. I'm not saying it's thinking, but it's remarkable where it's going. And as I say, these are just the early iterations of it. I don't know. I think certainly I'll be redundant, if not this week. It's not this week, in a short number of years.
I think we'll keep you in all the way.
I don't know. All right, Tip O'Neill Awards.
Yes, Greg, three people will be honoured with the Tip O'Neill Irish Diaspora Award for 2023 at a presentation ceremony in the Inishowen Gateway Hotel on Saturday, September the 16th. The recipients this year are Professor William C. Campbell from Melton, who people will know received the Nobel Peace Prize for Medicine in 2015, Buncrana native Carolyn McLaughlin, who is a leading representative of the Irish diaspora community in the UK, and John T. Fries, a first-generation Irish-American whose father was born and raised in Kilmacrenan. So the award is presented by Donegal County Council and is to recognise those who have excelled in their chosen field whilst honouring their contribution to Ireland and its diaspora.
Yeah, it's really lovely to see how that has grown. I remember doing initial interviews when it was just being launched, and I didn't really know what it was or where it was going to go. And now it's a mainstay, and what a trio of recipients there. Okay, Letterkenny Chamber survey, what's it telling us?
Yeah, it is conducting its second business sentiment survey for 2023. The Chamber is keen to gain a better understanding of the challenges that businesses are currently facing, and it's hoped that this latest survey will help it build an accurate picture of the local economic landscape. And I think on the basis of that, it will help their lobbying exploits if or when they're going to go and sort of maybe seek help at national level. So the survey will take around 10 minutes to complete. Any information will be anonymised and treated in the strictest of confidence, and the Chamber's social media platforms have the link for that survey.
Yeah, and of course another interesting aspect of that is you get to check the findings of this survey when they become available with the findings of the first. And then
so
you
it's good work,
the,
Greg. I suppose it's the only way that obviously the Chamber's a major player here, so it's a good way of actually gauging what's going on and maybe what needs to be addressed.
All right, car sales on the up.
Yeah, we're halfway through the year, Greg. New car registrations for the first 6 months of the year in Donegal saw an increase of 4%. So 1,543 new cars were sold from January to June in 2022, and that's compared to 1,604 during the same period in 2023. And just in relation to new electrical vehicle registrations, because I knew you were probably going to ask me if I haven't got it, there's been an increase of 77%. So starting from low base, for the first 6 months of 2022, 113 EVs were sold in Donegal, and that's compared to exactly 200 between January and June this year. And nationally, Greg, registrations year to year are up 18.8%, 77,488 new cars compared to 65,211.
Can I have the breakdown in EVs? Can I have the breakdown, please, of full electric, plug-in hybrid and...
No, you know why? Because they weren't there for consumption algorithms. Thank God. you can go and check it out yourself. That's all you're getting.
Okay. We'll be back with a look forward to the podcast. Thanks for the news. We'll be back with an actual look forward to what's coming up on the podcast after this break. Okay, let's get to this week's podcast, Kieran. What's coming up?
Yeah, I'll be speaking to the owner and founder of the Sleeve League Campsite, Kieran McHugh, and the CEO at Letterkenny Chamber of Commerce, Tony Forrester. 2 years ago, Kieran McHugh opened Sleeve League Campsite in Tillian, and around 250 people stayed there over the bank holiday weekend in June. Last month, Sleeve League Campsite won Campsite of the Year at the Irish Hospitality Awards in Dublin. A teacher and youth worker, Kieran currently employs 5 young people at his facility. In this clip, Greg, Kieran recalls the moment he decided to return to Donegal and try and make his boyhood dream a reality.
I've had this idea in my head since I was 12 years of age as a boy, you know, and luckily that my grandmother had farmland either side of the hill, one field towards the cliffs at Sleeve League and the other up the Pilgrim's Path. I was always into outdoor pursuits, hiking, running myself, camping, and no matter where I went after finishing school, to Dublin or travelling the world, I always had this in the back of my mind. I was going to return someday to Donegal and I was going to start a campsite. And that happened about 9 years ago. The idea came back into my head after travelling. I was teaching over in Thailand for 2 years and I came home and or back to Dublin. And I remember sitting on the M50 heading back to work one day, back to the job where I got a sabbatical from. And it was a miserable day in November and I was looking at people next door to me in the traffic, you know, on the M50. And I said, life has to be more than this. So that 12-year-old idea, boy in my head, just came back and I goes, I'm going to think about this campsite idea one more time.
Good man, Kieran. I think lots of us be sitting in the M50, Kieran, and we say, God, that's to be more than life than this.
Yeah.
And then change the radio channel and crack on with it. But he's followed his dream there. And it seems a huge success, man, to be employing and supporting 5 young people and also to bag that prestigious award in a relatively young company. It's great that his drive is being rewarded, isn't it, Kieran?
It's a great success story. I knew Kieran and I met him in Letterkenny at the first reopening phase after the first lockdown.
Mentioning lockdown today. Every item has come up. We haven't talked about it for so long. But anyway, sorry, Kieran, I'm ruining your flow.
Yeah, and I met him down in Letterkenny and he was telling me, look, he had this idea and then it was about to go. But COVID, obviously, with the impact it had on the construction industry, so he was sort of snookered and it was a bit of a worrying period for him. But around May in 2021, the government gave the green light for the construction industry, Greg. Kieran's ready to go and within a few months he had the campsite open. It's open just over 2 years and it's really gone from strength to strength. He won that national award, Best Campsite at the Irish Hospitality Awards, and it's a phenomenal success story 2 years in, employing 5 people, as you say. He regards the campsite as a sort of base camp for hikers. It's a massive growth industry and he's developed the campsite over 3 different phases. And when you have 250 people staying over the last bank holiday weekend, that's proof in itself.
I used to do a bit of caravanning, never went further than Carrick and Shannon, and I didn't really feel that I need to because, and really the point I'm getting to is here, if you want a break, you can actually do it in your own county, in a different part of the county, because everywhere is different, different aspects, different things to do, be it here or the pods in Creaslow or the pods in wherever they might be. There's these fantastic facilities all over the place, but it's great to get away for 2 or 3 days, get out of the familiarity of it. It feels like a holiday, you know what I mean? I love that. I mean, if I'm going on holidays, I want to go on holidays on a plane, but for little breaks, I don't really travel outside Donegal.
Very much in control of your own destiny too, and you can come and go and stop and stay.
The wee village out in Arranmore, Tory Hotel, you know, if you want something really different, you can do it really in your backyard.
In relation to those glamping sites that you mentioned, say, there's Burtonport, there's Creasla, and there's Teelin, they're all very much central to the area where they are in, and there's so much to do within a very short space of time. But during our interview, Greg, two different people came in inquiring. So we just let the tape run. So there was a woman from France wondering where she was. So we just let the thing run. So it was a long way from his Stockler's M50. There was no sunshine that day, but he's very happy of what he's done. And it's a great credit to him.
Great to hear it. Okay, now the hugely prestigious Letterkenny Chamber of Commerce Business Awards aren't too far away now.
Yeah, they're taking place, Greg, on Friday, November the 10th, in the Clanree in Letterkenny. But the deadline for applications is Friday, July the 14th. That's Friday week at 12 noon. I spoke to Tony Forrester during the week about the awards, and in this clip, she explains how businesses and the public can get involved in the process.
They just go onto our website, click Business Awards right at the top of the website, pick a category and apply. And you can apply for more than one category. You can really do what you want. You fill in the questions. You have to fill in the questions as much detail as possible. What happens then is we will have an independent step where someone goes out, someone over online or phones, either Zoom or on phone, will talk to the entry and get a wee bit more information if we need it. And then the independent judging panel will pick the shortlisted. And then we usually have an open, a bit of a public poll on that from September on.
All right, okay. So much more from Tony and Tony and Kieran in your podcast, Kieran.
Yeah, just in relation to the Chamber Awards there, they have two new awards this year, Greg. One of them is the Young Business Person of the Year. So it's 4 months away, so it goes to show how much work is involved in actually pulling all that together. The Chamber has 300 plus members, 8,000 employees, so they're obviously a very big player in the business world.
And they work really hard, actually. Yeah. You know, it's only in conversation that it's not today or yesterday that I realised this, but in terms of representing those businesses locally, regionally and nationally with events in Dublin, whatever, there's far more goes into a Chamber of Commerce than, it's not just an umbrella group for businesses, it does so much more in terms of meetings all of the time, engagements, supports, there's a lot to it.
Yeah, you chaired the panel discussion at the President's lunch that was hosted by Fionnuala Rabbitt back in last month. And the Radisson Hotel. So I suppose that was a good
another
gauge.
Freebie.
Well, it was a working lunch.
I don't want to see what these boys are doing and other places are getting. I haven't made a shilly outside of Highland. That was free. What else have I done for free? Went down to Dublin to speak at a radio conference. I thought, all right, this is a nice little nixer, isn't it? Free. Not a shilling. Well, I got a hotel room out of the Dublin one. Who's this agent? What's his name?
I don't know.
How did he do it?
I'll get you his number.
I beg every day for a free stay in a pod and nothing.
We'll do it when we're finished.
Nothing. Will someone grease my greasy palms with money?
I'll ask Brendan Vinny to give you a free trip.
What is this, €70,000 cars?
We'll get a free trip on the boat for you very shortly.
What? I literally asked for one. I was begging. No. Go on. I didn't really
quite. I don't know where we're going. But look, the Chamber, just in relation to their standing that they
Lottie
have.
Lottie Ryan! No, I'm only joking. Go on.
So I suppose the standing that they have, they do have a lot of power coming together collectively. And it'll be interesting to see, I suppose, what the next move is when whatever go to the lobby for next.
Brilliant stuff.
I don't know where you're going.
I don't know how you kept going through that. Anyway, I'm only joking. Okay. Full interviews.
Three years of practice.
Full interviews with Kieran and Tony are available to download right now or stream on our website highlandradio.com or on Spotify or iTunes. And for those who like to listen to it on the radio at a lovely scheduled time, when is that, Kieran?
Yeah, after the 6 o'clock news, Greg, on Sunday evening.
And if anyone wants to get in contact with you, what's the best way to do so?
Yeah, just drop me an email, please, businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Right, anything nice planned for the weekend? Doing any running or anything?
I'll do a wee bit of running, go and watch a bit of football.
Who are you going to go and watch playing? I've got 30 seconds to
St. Jurans and Niamh Connell are playing in the league. I think I said, I'm not sure if it's Saturday or Sunday in O'Donnell Park, so we'll go and watch that.
All right, good stuff, Kieran. Enjoy that.
Thanks, Greg.
I think it was really nice of them to name that ground after you as well.
You're welcome.
Really, really nice of them. Okay, I'm Kieran O'Donnell there, Business Matters podcast available for you right now. And Kieran will be back with us all being well after 11 next Wednesday. Okay, that's where we have to leave it on the show today. Thank you to all of you who listened, watched, took part in the show. It's really, really appreciated. We're back tomorrow morning at 9. Stay tuned. John Breslin's coming up around the Northwest. But for me, Greg Hughes and the incredibly hardworking team of Caroline, Orr and Niamh, we'll also say be back with you tomorrow, all being well, from 9.